So Chad and Stephanie ministered, and I listened to the, I haven't listened to Stephanie's yet. Did we get it? I don't know if we got it. Did we get it recorded? Yeah, I got it. But I did listen to yours, Chad. Thank you very much. It ministered greatly to me. So I'm going to pick up with Chad, what he was ministering on identity, and go on. So I preached in a church that is a doctor, as Lisa was saying about the salaries. The government actually establishes all the salaries for everybody. So a dentist, like she's now a dentist, Gloria, but she'll make like $400 a month. And a lot of the stuff there is about as expensive. It's not dirt cheap over there. Like it's we threw some big parties. I mean, we had the restaurant where you saw the city in the background. I don't know if you remember that, but there's lights in the background, and I think Liam said a restaurant of hats and. Beautiful, gorgeous. We'll try to get some of those pictures, but just being there, it's just, woo, this is really nice. And then they laid out, oh, man, they brought out a leg of lamb. Woo, man, was that good. And then all their native things and all that. It's Mediterranean diet, so it's, you know, it's not strange to us. Well, the frogs and the eel is a little bit different, but by the way, frogs are really good. But anyway, great meals in that, and But I was going to say, I shared in one church, I've shared there with his church, Arion is his name, and he was a doctor, and he made, when I first met him, he was making $500 a month, and he's actually running a taxi to try to make ends meet. So most of the doctors, nurses, if they can leave the country, they leave. Germany is lacking for doctors right now, so they have just offered them all kinds of money and travel, and so... People, over 1.5 million people have left the country since I've been there. So it's not like it's really easy to be there. The doctor actually didn't, he stopped practicing, just went full-time preaching. He's bought a building for $170,000. That's a big undertaking. Building a daycare preschool thing, school. Anyway, they got great vision. They really do excellent work. And he's back to doctoring. They've raised it up to 1,300, and they make, but because they just lost so many doctors, they didn't have hardly any of them. So this is still a country that the government absolutely controls everything, and they're corrupt. Walter's trying to build a church. He's been asking for the permits for 2 years, and pretty much because he's a church, and he won't pay the bribes, he won't get it. So one of the things I ministered into in this church I was in, I just. Recognizing the time of visitation. And Luke, Jesus said, you didn't recognize, you're not aware of what's really going on. Jesus came and most people had no idea he was there, had no idea what was going on. And that's the case with almost all generations. We don't see who we are. We don't see what's really happening. We don't lift up our eyes. How many times the Bible says, lift up your eyes, be aware, be alert, all that. There's a reason for that. and what I see right now is, there is a real movement of the kingdom of God is increasing like never before. I can honestly say that I'm feel more hope, more positive, more aggressive. I feel like I've stepped up all my life, but it's like right now I'm going, dear God, we've got to step up. We're in the momentum of winning right now. We're not hanging on. We're not struggling. We're not, oh boy, Jesus, come quickly. The trumpet's blowing and the Lord is saying charge, and we have to now step up and run the race. And that's why we need to have every bit of grace that we can get. And he's preparing us and he's preparing you to care for the lambs and to feed the sheep. And what that means, I believe we're going to see, I'm not sure we're going to see a mass movement into churches. We're going to see a mass movement of people getting into the kingdom of God, but they may not come to church. And that means you guys are pastors. You guys are the evangelists. You guys are the teachers. God gives gifts of pastoral and teaching and all that for the equipping of the saints to do the work. So this may not sound really good to you, but you're the workers. You're the ones that pastor. And I want you to just do it. I want to encourage you. You got to do what I got to do. God's put me in places right now that I say, boy, if they find out who I am, they're going to throw me out. Well, thank God they'll throw me out then. But the truth is, we are qualified. We are the representation of Christ. And you are so much more qualified and trained than you realize. And if you don't speak up, a lot of people aren't going to hear. I want to just say, be courageous to pastor, to teach people. Don't necessarily need to get them in church. The kingdom of God's inside of them, and you are well, you have a lot more knowledge than you think, but the moment you step out of that boat and just say, okay, I'm going to share with this person the truth, the best I know in a loving way, you're going to find that he'll fill you up, he'll give you the right words, you'll actually just be amazed, you'll go away and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said all that stuff. I don't even know what I was talking about. Yeah, that's me. So, take heart. At the same time, this is not a thing of, oh, tough it out and, oh, sacrifice and, oh, be. No, this is time. This is the joyous time of overcoming. We are going over, and it is a time to rejoice. It is time to shout, you know, and watch the walls come down. If you were God, how would you explain truth? If you were God, how would you explain truth to people who are dull of heart, self-centered, preoccupied, and don't care? Think about it. In the country of Kosovo, right next to Albania, they love America. There's more American flags flying over there than here. And almost every house has an American flag on it because Jimmy Carter, no. Clinton. Clinton did a good thing. I'm not saying he did a lot of them, but he helped push the Serbs out of Kosovo. When the Serbs came in, they like their dominating group of people. Horrible, horrible things. I was in Albania when the refugees from Kosovo were coming in. They were just horrible. Some of the most horrible stories I've ever heard in my life. You can't even believe it at this age of modern society that people do that. You know, and I don't want to freak out, but someday they cut one woman open that had a baby inside her, pulled the baby out and put a cat inside and sewed her back up. Horrible things I heard. Things that's bad enough, but things, and Clinton went in and stopped it. And so they love America. Albania loves America. But they're also real good friends. The prime minister is with Soros. So Ergus, the pastor I was with, he's had coffee with Soros' son. So it's like we're getting real close to having a major impact on world events. And we just need to step up and believe God and trust him. But less than probably 1%, I think it's way less than 1% of people in Kosovo are Christians. When you get there, it's, you know, I drove through there, met with a pastor a couple of years ago, and it was just like, it's a lot more organized, a little better shape than Albania, but it's just like there's no life. There's just nothing, it's just, people just exist in Europe sometimes. Europe overall is just ungodly. There's just so few really on fire Christians. And so there's a massive work. But I believe that there's this kingdom increase right now, and it's going to be in the hearts of people one-on-one. And I believe it's going to happen here in America. I believe it's happening right in our community right now. We're having more opportunities to pray for people, to open up to people that we have no agenda, you know, I'm not trying to get them in here, you're not trying to get them, but we just need to minister to them and give hope. And I believe it's going to get real busy, but I believe it's going to be real energized. And Jesus said, yeah, I have food you don't know of. It's energizing to do the work of the Lord. You're going to find more energy than you've ever found. But what Chad shared was so important. We got to know who we are. And everything is against that. Everything is against us knowing who we are. We are now the children of God. We are not farmers and business people. That's some of the stuff we just do. Who we really are, our identity is we are children of God. And so if you were God, how would you explain the truth? And I was thinking about this. In communicating with people of another language, it's really fun. It was fun to watch the boys try to venture out for that. Thank God there's a lot of those people that speak English. The little guys, I met two little guys. The one that we showed in the picture, there's another one we met of a lady that adopted this little boy. He's about 12. Another just out of the horrible situation and super unbelievable miracles for her to adopt this little boy, because over there, she raised this thing since this little boy, since it was, she had a orphanage type feeding thing that we supported years ago. And she has had this boy in her, she's never married, and she raised him, and she finally went to adopt him. And the government, the lady just said, no, if you want to adopt somebody, you come and say, we'll put you on the list, we'll pick somebody and give them to you. And she risked everything to expose this boy, because now they want to take him and give him to somebody else. And yeah, and so, but this little boy, whew, confident, spoke English good, and this, my heart, I'm going to encourage my son, grandsons, to stay in touch with them, because they, you know, with what's up, and they can talk to them any day they want to, and have a friend in America forever. And so that's some of the things we're seeing. But these guys were definitely open. These young kids, you can just see the hand of God raising up leadership right now. Very good time to be excited. Okay, so let me get to this point. People say, well, so many things they say about God. And you and me, we do the same thing. We say, well, this person loved God with all their heart, and they believe it, you know, and they love God and they respect God, but here they are, they're suffering, they're going through problems, they're maybe they got sickness, disease, maybe financial, maybe relationships. And it's like, why, you know, as a kid, you know, one of the stories we heard all the time is a woman that was dying of cancer at 31 years of old. And my dad just said, if God would heal anybody, it'd be her, because she was the sweetest, loving, kindest. In the midst of her agony and pain, if you walked in to see her, she said, do you have a headache? You look like you know, she was concerned about others. But here's the deal. Love is God, and it's the most awesome thing, but the righteous people have to live by faith, not by love. We're losing. The Bible says you're dying because of lack of knowledge. If you were God, how would you get across the knowledge of how to win? In our communication on the way home, I was just thinking about this, and I go, you know, trying to communicate, even though they speak English and we do, but there's still so many things break down. Communication with my own wife breaks down every day. I swear I know what she said. You know, and some days I think I'm going to record what I said so I can play it back to her and say, this is what I said. You know, but I just know it breaks down. Amen? If you don't experience that, you're not talking to anybody. But think about all the questions we have about God. You know, and so many people, I can't trust a God that does this. I can't trust a God that has evil. I can't trust a God that has little kids suffer. And all that. And I think, but if you are God trying to communicate and explain to you, people who you are, you know, their ability to learn is it's like trying to tell a baby how to do brain surgery. How would you do that? Our God is so vast. Our God is so big. And I just thought, and I was just thinking, talking to God about that, and I just had this thought. If I knew 20%, you know, sometimes when we're preaching over there and the interpreter is going, some of the guys out in the crowd will know both languages, and I'll ask them, how did that go? And they said, well, he got about 80% of what you were saying. Well, you drop out 20%, you've changed the whole story. Right? And you think about our communication with God. Here's God trying to communicate with us. And we may, let's say we might know 1% of his language. That would be a really high percentage. And he's trying to get across this. We're asking him, but we don't have the capacity yet. We want an answer right now. Why don't you tell me what's going on? And he God's heart is to explain everything to us. God's heart is to give us everything. God's heart is always, he always wants you healed. He always wants you prosperous. He always wants you victorious. Everything in that book says that he wants you to be successful. But we have problems, and one of it is communication. They say this. They say that 7% of our communication with each other is verbal. We put all our confidence in what we say to people. 7%. I don't think that's accurate. But let's just go with it. They say 38% is through tone and voice. That really gets confusing when you're in other countries. You get in Thailand, it's I mean, if you go up or go down, it's a whole different word. I would never try that language. And then 55% is through body language. And that's why sometimes you said this to me, and you go, I did not say those words. Well, you're probably right. You probably didn't say those words, but your body and your tone did. And so they're accurate sometimes. Not always. Because there are some people, their whole body language is just wrong. It's not from their heart. They just radiate something that is not true. And we all pick it up and think we know what's going on, and we don't know what's going on. Now think about that and just how hard it is to communicate human to human, but think about it. You're trying to understand from God this incredible, massive knowledge that he has. What is God? God is, in my opinion, one of the best ways we get to know God is look at nature. It came out of him. It's his nature expressed. So when people say, well, one of the problems I have with conservatives is they always want to tighten up the belt. Some of you guys are so stingy, aren't you? You're just, man, buying that can of beans, it's 5 cents higher than the other can of beans. You got money? So let's have that crappy stuff. Even though you got money? Well, where does that come from? I don't know. But your nature comes out. Well, you look at, and a lot of people just think God is, I think they think God is short on cash. That he lost a couple thousand head of cattle on the hills. I don't know. It's just like there's so many Christians so proud that they don't spend any money. Like there's a lack. The Lord's my shepherd. I have no wants. There's no lack. How do we know that? Well, you can go to the scriptures, but you can just look at nature and say, when did he ever do something cheap? When did he ever do something small? When did he ever do something not creative? How many fish did he make? He made fish that are so deep we've never seen them before, and they got little lights on down there 2,000 feet deep. What a weird God. If he was a contractor, would he make those little communities with apartments all the same, or would he be having these extravagant houses? He does it all. He is extravagant. He is compassionate. He is creative. He is powerful. There's no lack. One of the things they're trying to tell us, you know why they're trying to tell us about climate change? You know why they're trying to tell us that there's no fossil fuels enough? You know why they're trying to go totally contrary to the image of God and who he is. Saying there's not enough, we got to cut down the people. Why? Because they're absolutely fighting God. And God's whole nature is abundance. More than enough. Dear God, I wish I believed that more. Neil asked me, where's my jet so we could fly his dad to Mayo? It's coming. I'm getting there. Elon Musk just was trying to explain to people the other day, the universe is expanding faster than if we could go at the speed of light, which you can't. If we took off right now to head to the outside, we'd never make it because it's expanding faster than that. This thing is crazy big. Somebody told me that Elon Musk got saved. I don't know. Doesn't matter if he was or doesn't, because he's headed that way. You know why I believe he'll find, he'll walk with God? Because he's studying nature. He's open to understand all the rules. He's gutsier and all get out, isn't he? Who would want to go to Mars besides my son? Just lunatic in my mind. Why build a rocket so, oh, gosh, just... And people say, well, he's not, you know, you could say he's not a God. I say, no, he's seeking God. Why? Because he's seeking all the rules of success. He's applying every rule of success that he gets. He's guts here and all get out to learn something and say, let's make that happen. He'll walk with God because whether he knows it or not, he is seeking God. He's seeking the truth of how things work, and God is the one that made everything work. You know what a righteous person is? It's what Chad was saying. A righteous person is the person who is who they're supposed to be. You know what the problem is? None of us are, we're so chicken to be who we are. We're so chicken to have a different opinion of how we like our eggs cooked. Go to a restaurant and have, what do you want to order? Well, what are you ordering? Oh, I'll have that. We're just plain chickens to try anything. We don't know who we are. Why? Because that's righteous and everything is against righteous. Right? You are unique. You don't need to compare yourself to anybody. We're just all just shriveling up and dying because we're so worried about being who we really are because we don't know who we really are. And we want to look like somebody else so we don't have to face the fact of who we are. If that made sense. If not, let it go. But see, we really don't believe. We compare ourselves. Well, that person's doing this, and I'm not doing hardly anything. That doesn't matter. What is that to you? You don't know how the little parts that I play little parts in people's lives, not big parts. And I'm really happy doing that. And people say, you need to do a bigger part. I don't want to. Well, why not? It's not me. Well, you should. Stop it. Who are you to tell me what I should be? And who am I to tell you who you should be? We need to get a little bit belligerent. Just said, shut up, sit down, and go away. I'll be who I am, because that's the way the Master's made me. And we won't get there if we don't just seek it from him alone. We'll keep comparing and miss the mark. You know what sin is? You know what evil is? When we're righteous, we are who God made us to be. We know he's explaining everything to you different than me because why? Is he so big? We can't get him all at once. No Child Left Behind is such a bad, bad thing because what it does is say, let's all stay down here till we all get together. It's stupid. Man, it just limits everybody. It's horrible. Puts people in bondage. You need to go as fast as you can in the direction God's led you, and I need to go as fast as I can in the direction he's led me. And by doing that, when we get there, we go, wow, it all fit together, didn't it? But if we're always, how you doing? Oh, I don't know. I'll stick with you. I'll slow down for you. No, I know I'm going crazy, but I feel good. Righteousness is when we are just what he's placed inside of us, and he said he's put his desires inside of us. And we need to pursue those. And when we're doing that, we're pursuing God. And so when I look at some of these guys that are going, you know, moving forward, the comedians, the rock and roll people, they're seeking God. And I see a little kid all in trouble, busting everything. I go, oh, he's going to make a lot of problems for a lot of people. But he's seeking God. He's going to be a phenomenal person if he keeps going to find out what God has placed inside there. Evil. When we know God, then we understand his rules and we walk in those rules and they work. We know how to fly because we learned some rules. Evil is when we don't know his rules and we try to go figure it out on our own. It will always be wrong. It will always be wrong. It's not... You try to fly without using the rules, and it'll be what happened to some of you where your brother said, get on top of the barn and put these wings on and run as hard as you can off the barn. I had a brother that used me for a lot of things. You can do it, John. You can do it. That's missing the mark. That's sin. Hitting the mark is when you know him, and when you know him, what you know is how he designed everything to work perfectly. So let me just close with these thoughts. Righteousness is available to each person to be who they're supposed to be, but it's not automatic. Just because you say, Jesus be the Lord of my life, does not mean he's going to be the Lord of your life. Just because you said, Jesus heal me, he's not going to heal you. If you just say, Jesus prosper me, he's not going to. All these things are available, but they're not automatic. When you, the more you know who you are as a child of God, perfect, blameless, being trained by the Father, the more you can move into the things that belong to you from him. But if you don't pursue them, if you don't do them. So let me give you some of the things. It says, whosoever believeth in him has the power to become children of God. There's a clause there. It's not automatic. You've got to be a person who wants to be one of those who chooses to believe. You got to receive. As many received him, he gave the power to become children of God. We've talked about that. You got to start taking it. It's not. It's handed out. It's there. It's not being withheld from you. I mean, how many people? I had a guy in my church once, and he goes, John, I'm seeking God in some areas. He's a Vietnam vet. He was crazy. He's a multimillionaire, lived in the dump and all that. His life was a radical in every direction. But he said to me once, he said, it's just like God just, he's got it right there, and I just can't quite grab it. And I know that feeling, don't you? But that's false. That's not the way it is. That's a lie. God is never doing what your brother did. Hold out a little something and just keep pulling it back. Never letting you have it. That's not him. That's not truth. That's not who he is. And if you don't, you know, when you don't believe right and you don't receiving means you've got to step up and say, that's mine. You've got to have that confidence and say, that's mine. I don't care who's in my way. Get out of my way. I'm taking it. You got to do it without doubt. It's available. It's not automatic. What that man, what Jody said, what a great prayer. Help me in my disbelief. Give me the sword that I need to destroy the disbelief in my life. Don't just say, well, you know, I have a real problem with that, doubting too, just like you. Stop. We need to stop identifying with each other's and our problems and start saying, I'm going to be different. Are you going to be different? I'm going to believe him. I don't want to just identify with everybody. I want to identify with him. I'm victorious. I'm victorious in everything I set my hand to. You got to seek him first and only. I'll probably minister on this more later, but Paul said, you got to have the right mindset. Your mind has to be set on the spirit, not on the flesh. You know why a lot of times our physical body's dying? Because our mind is set on the flesh. You know, you take this for what you want, but so often a doctor says, boy, you got this, and it's going to kill you. And we believe them, and it does. And the only reason it killed us is because he said it, and we believed it. It's been proven over and over. What your doctor says to you, we got more confidence in, a lot of people have more confidence in what a doctor says than what God says. And here's the deal, they think they're on science. They think they're on truth. They lack knowledge, and so they're liars. Just like everybody else is liars. And a lot of times they lack knowledge, and so they're doing their best they can, but they'll say, but you know, the people have been, it's been proven. I'll give you one example. One guy got about 48 years old, went in and had, you know, you better have an exam and all that. So they did an exam. They said, but you got a spot on your lung and you only got about 3 months to live. You go home and get your things in order. He got his things in order and he died. You know what they found? They found out that they looked back in his medical file, and when he's in the military, they took an x-ray and he had the same spot when he's 21 as he did at 48. It hadn't changed at all. You go, how could that be? We live by faith. We live by what we're persuaded about. It's more powerful than all the science and, I mean, all the facts. There is the law of gravity, but the law of lift and the law of thrust will cause you to fly. Think on these things, he said. One of the things that keeps us up from entering into the righteousness is we don't enter into our rest. Hebrews 4 says, enter into the rest while it's available. You know what that said? Enter into the rest. God entered into his rest. He worked for 6 days and then he rested. He said, now we need to enter into our rest. You know what that means? It means we stop working. How many people could handle this statement? Jesus said, don't work for your living. How many people say, I work for my living? If you ask most people, you know, how do you provide for yourself? I work for a living. And Jesus said, don't do that. But we just ignore that and say, oh, he didn't mean that. Of course I got to work for my living. He said, don't work for your living. I'll take care of you. How many of you are, right when I'm saying this right now, you're going, what the heck are you talking about? How can I not work for my living? He just said, don't work for your living. I'll take care of you. And then he said, well, what is the work? He said, the work is to believe in him whom the Father sent. When you get so mindful of that truth, that here's how I'm going to walk through this life successful. I'm going to believe in him. He's going to teach me. I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do. And he will provide for me abundantly. You know why we don't do it? It's more work to walk in faith than it is to work for a living. It's easier to walk and work for a living than it is to live by faith. It's available, but not automatic. I think I'm wearing you out, so I'm going to quit. Be a doer, not a hearer. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Just look right at him and say, everything that I want, everything that I am, everything that I could ever be, all that life could ever give to me or I could take is in that man. If I seek him, and how do you seek him? Just like Elon Musk, you start looking at all the principles that bring success. That's who authored those things. It said, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, the starter, the beginning of your life, and the finisher, the one who will like finish concrete perfectly. Look to him and stop looking at everything else. The word fix means to take your eyes off that and bring it to this. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Put all your confidence in that. And then whatever he tells you to do, do it. Build jets. Love. Have confidence. Get happy with you. Because you are the most awesome thing in your life. After him. Wow, God. We hunger, we thirst for righteousness. To break loose of these chains and bonds that hold us. Elementary thinking of the world. And we long to step into the spiritual realm that we belong in and excel. Help us, we pray. Lead us, Spirit. We're all in. So be it. Amen.